Book of Colossians, chapter number 1. We'll continue where we left off. We've been here for a few weeks. Lord willing, we'll go through the whole book. Don't know how long it'll take, but it'll be all right. It's all good. Amen. Colossians, chapter number 1. Tonight, let's pray and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, God, for your word and for your truth, Lord. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, to just calm my nerves tonight, Lord, allow all the distractions of the outside world to be gone. Lord, I ask you now to just, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bind the devil off this place tonight. Lord, thank you so much for each and every individual who are here willingly tonight, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, not to hear from me. And God, I just hope that your word will do miracles tonight in their lives, and I know it will. Now, Lord, just open the minds and hearts of your people tonight, Lord, that they can receive it. Lord, we know thy word is truth, and I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can trust that God is true and every man's a liar. Tonight, Lord, I just ask you to bless. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit tonight, and allow me to preach. Lord, if this is my last time, Lord, may it honor and glorify you. And Lord, may you work like never before, and we'll be thankful for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Colossians chapter number 1. We'll start reading in verse number... Let's start in verse number 9. We'll start in verse number 9. That's where we left off last week. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We spoke last week a little bit on Paul's desire as he's preaching to this church in Colossae, and his this preacher's desire and this church's desire to see each other filled with the Spirit of God. And I think it would be good if we, as New Hope Independent Baptist Church, I'm sure if Paul had a message for us today, I think it would still be the same message that he penned years ago. Hey, it's very, very important to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and to try your best to stay filled with the Spirit and to live this thing that we know as a Spirit-filled life. And in verse 10, the Bible says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Boy, that's one of them verses. As I was reading it, it just kind of jumped off the page, and I read it over and over and over again, and there's something to be said about unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Doesn't that sound like the opposite of how we take long-suffering and how we take hard times? Not many of us take long-suffering with joy in our hearts, do we? Long-suffering happens, tribulations happen, trials happen, and the first thing we do is we ask why. We get upset, we get bitter, we get angry, and it seems like it's the right thing to do, but in reality, God said, hey, your long-suffering times, you still need to have joy in your heart even in the bad times. Why? Because at the end of the day, guess what? In your long-suffering, whether you make it through that trial or you die in that trial, the Bible teaches us a pretty good promise. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And no matter what happens in that long-suffering, at the end of the day, man, woman, boy, or girl, you are still a saved individual that belongs. You are blood-bought by God Almighty, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for you. You can still and do still have the ability to walk with joy in your heart, in your long suffering. But it's a choice. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We talked about heaven a couple Wednesday nights ago. How many thankful for heaven tonight? Well, I sure am thankful that I can read about it here, but I'm thankful, folks, I don't just have to read about it. I don't just have to listen to other preachers preach about it. I don't just have to sing about it. I don't have to just watch a play on Sunday morning and get excited that because when the tomb burst open, my Savior didn't stay dead. But, folks, he's not going to stay gone. He's going to come back someday. And Lord willing, if I make the rapture, that'll be good. But if I don't, hey, I'm still going to make heaven. You ought to be thankful for that tonight, church. That's something that you can always be thankful for. That is something this world cannot take away from you. They can take your money. They can take your possessions. Shoot, they can take your life, but they can't take your salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I had the opportunity just this morning. I got a text message from a family member of mine up north in Philadelphia, and she said, "Drew, you got to help me with this." She said, "For years I've believed in eternal security, and I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, but one of my friends today texted me this, and just a few minutes later, another one of my friends texted me this, and now I'm just not sure." Well, hey, you know what I did? I said, "Hey, let me tell you what Drew thinks." No. I opened up my Bible. I said, "Let me show you what God says about eternal security. First of all, you take them back to salvation. What are they basing their salvation on? Are they basing their salvation on something they've done? Because if they did, no wonder they don't believe in eternal security. Because it is in and of nothing they have ever done that will ever save anybody. It's only because of what Jesus has already done. And by the way, it's already been paid for. Nothing else needs to happen." Amen. It's all done. And then I showed her scripture after scripture after scripture, 1 John 5:13, that you can know that you have eternal life. In Romans chapter 8, we learn that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Death, life, principalities, powers, height, depth, nothing. And Paul even said, nor things present, nor things to come. And whatever else you could think of, folks, guess what? Nothing can separate us from that love. We as Christians, we have the assurance of heaven someday, regardless of what we do. Isn't that pretty miraculous? But I did remind her that we are not free to sin. Folks, we've been made free from sin. You don't have the freedom to go out and do whatever you want. Yes, I agree with that statement, but I strongly disagree with the statement that if you do sin, which, by the way, the Bible says, for all have sinned. God said we're still going to sin. He that saith he is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's what the Bible says. Folks, listen, the old sin nature is still there, but I don't believe every single time I sin, I lose my salvation. For me to believe that would have believed that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was not enough for me. And let me remind you, it is, was, and always will be enough to cover all sin. Verse 12, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, man, aren't you thankful that you're saved tonight, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his what, church? Blood, even the forgiveness of sins, plural. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. I like this verse. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And guess what, folks? It's for him. It wasn't for you. It wasn't for me. He created you for him. He created me for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I wonder tonight if this verse would back up your lifestyle. I wonder if someone were to ask you, hey, does God have preeminence in your life in all things? And by the way, let me quickly remind you, God does not force his way into anything. God does not force you to be saved. God does not force you to die and go to hell because you reject his Son. And after you're saved, God does not force you to live a spirit-filled life. Does he? So I wonder if you, as a Christian, as a born-again, blood-bought believer, I wonder if you could say, God has preeminence in every area of my life. And if there's an area in your life that God has convicted you about in the last few moments, that you would say, you know what, Brother Drew, there is an area that God does not have preeminence. Folks, let me challenge you. Let me warn you. Let me beg you to not be like I was for so many years, living the look in the look, walking the walk, talking the talk, preaching to teenagers with sin in my life that was affecting my relationship with Jesus. You don't have to be like that. Folks, it's very important to give everything to the Lord. After all, I wonder how many of us have ever sang the old hymn, I surrender. But man, if we sang that honest, we'd change them words, wouldn't we? I surrender some. Hey, it sounds funny, but that's how we do. We walk out of here, and oh yeah, we got no problem surrendering the things that, you know, we see. Oh, my wife's going to be mad at me if she finds that out. Y'all all right, husbands? That ain't no problem surrendering that when things are getting tough at home, right? Oh, but what about what God knows? Can I say God knew about your problem, husband, before your wife ever did? Wife, God knew about your problem before your husband ever found out. Your kids are going to find out someday, hey, Satan's after your home. Y'all believe that? He's after your home, and he's going to start with the weakest point. He's going to start with them little babies who are vulnerable to everything. That's why it's so important for you, Mom, and you, Dad, to have your place in the home, and not the place that you think you ought to have, but the place that God instructs you to have in your home. It's important. See, God has authority positions on purpose. But I wonder if there's a place in your life that God does not have preeminence. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." So a few things I want to show you tonight. All the way back in verse number 10. The Bible says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now keep in mind, number one, when you read the Bible, it's very important that you realize who the Bible is talking to when you're reading it. It's important to realize that the whole Bible is not written to you. Y'all okay with that? But it is all written for you. There's a big difference there. If the whole Bible was written to you, then we'd be lost and saved. That just simply is not, it cannot happen. So be careful when you're reading your Bible. Don't take stuff out of context, because you can turn the Bible and twist it and make it sound pretty good, which is what the world's doing. They're just writing new versions to make it fit their sinful lifestyle. That's all they're doing, okay? Don't get confused. It's wicked. God said don't mess with his word. People are messing with it. Guess what they're doing? They're committing a sin against God. But here's what verse number 10 says. That ye might walk, what's that next word? Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I believe that we should, as believers, be striving to make our Savior look good. I wonder, when's the last time your life pleased your Master? And I'm not just talking about, you know, every day you wake up, thank you, God, for this day. You know, Lord, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. I mean, that's all good and everything, but what have you really done this week to make God look good? Which, by the way, he's still good, regardless of what you and I do, amen? It doesn't matter. But here's the deal. Did you know that your life should reflect the one that's living within you? It's Jesus Christ. You know, when you were lost, you had no problems doing wicked things, and you appreciated it, and you loved it, and you, how many remember even bragging about some of the things you used to do before, Lord willing, you don't do them anymore now that you're saved, but we used to brag about the dumbest things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, I can do this. You could see how many of these, I mean, come on now. We bragged about that. You know what we were doing? We were lifting up our master, who was the devil. We were making him look real good. Well, I wonder if Christians would just start saying, hey, you know how many new Bible verses I can quote now? Because I've spent a lot of time in God's Word. I wonder how many of you, if someone were to come to you and you didn't have your Bible on hand, could have enough scripture in your memory. You know, even David, a man after God's own heart, said, I hide God's word in my heart. That why? That I might not sin against God. Hey, you want to make your Savior look good? Start reading his word. Because I promise you, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my what? Feet. And a light unto my what? My path. Folks, how are we going to know where to go if we're not in the Word? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Hey, I wonder how many of you appreciate fellowship with the brethren? Or how many of you dread going to church? You feel like, oh, it's Wednesday night. Why I got to go to church? Hey, you know what I think would be kind of cool? I think it'd be cool if we'd stop looking at how many numbers we have on Sunday morning and wonder why we don't have that many numbers on Wednesday night and Sunday night. That just shows the spiritual level of the individuals. Y'all okay? It's true. We want to make our Savior look good. We're going to give Him Sunday morning. What can I say? Jesus Christ gave everything for you. And if all you're willing to give Him is a couple of hours a week, shame on you. I hope they're watching tonight. I'm not mad at them. I'm just telling you, their spiritual level is not where it should be. If they're born again like they say they are, they should have the desire to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever God allows them to be here, they should be here. But see, we're too busy making excuses why we can't be here, why we don't want to serve God. Well, let me tell you something. God can quickly take your excuses away from you. God desires the praises of His people. We talked about that on Sunday. He loves it when we praise His name. He loves it when we come together as believers and unify ourselves around the Word of God and dig in real deep and just start praising Him and listening to Him. He loves it when people are gathered around and those Bible pages are turning and you're interested in what the preacher's saying, not just here bored to death. Because you got to listen to preaching again. Hey, folks, I remember being like that sitting in church. I'm sure if some of you'd be honest, you can say, hey, I've been there. Matter of fact, I'm here now. Could you please be quiet? You know what I'm saying? Look, it's okay. We can have a good time in church on Wednesday night. I'm just saying, listen, church should not be boring for you. Church should be something that you look forward to. You know, many of us look forward to going to work. Why? Because we're going to get what? Paid. Well, you know, if you'd look forward to going to church and ask God to bless you when you go there, you just might get paid. Y'all all right? You'd be surprised what God might show you if you'd go in there willing and wide open and say, God, today this isn't about me. I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Hey, I just want to go to church. I want to listen to the preacher. I want to go to Sunday school. Why? Because I just want to learn more about you. Could you please give me a blessing today, and I bet you His ears would just be like, hey, let me just give you something. Folks, He loves that. He said, ask and you shall what? Receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall what? Find. But many of us just have the mentality, well, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, better get up. Church starts at 10. How many sleep in until 9 o'clock Monday through Friday? Why? Because we got somewhere to be. That's important. You know, what if we sought God before we came in those doors? How much more glory and honor could our lives produce for our Savior? How much better could we make our Savior look if we would just stop focusing on me and focus on Him? God is doing great and mighty things in this town. God is doing great and mighty things in this church, and it's because of people like you who pray and seek God's face and show up to church and think it's important to have your babies in church. Hey, I commend you for that. God is going to bless you for that. But folks, God's so much bigger than what we've seen already. The question is, how big is your faith? Because the Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith, not by what? Sight. Folks, if we're constantly living by sight, you're going to miss out on an awful lot of stuff. And I can't help but think, but when I get to heaven and God shows me all the things, Brother Waylon, that He wanted me to have that I didn't get. Because why? Because I didn't see it. And I didn't have enough faith to step out and believe that God is who He says He was. And when He shows me all the individuals that we could have reached if we just would have stepped out by faith, I mean, yeah, we'll have the crowd that we did reach, and that'll be good. But folks, untold millions are still untold. Untold millions are outside the fold. Doesn't that do anything for your heart? To think about little lost babies, little boys and little girls. I mean, it breaks our heart when we see commercials or we read stories about homeless children that don't have anything to eat. Who would walk by a homeless child starving to death with their hand out and say, no, I don't want to help you? How many of you would do that? Not a single one of you would do that. But how many do we overlook and children that are dying for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I dare you to go take a trip to a country where kids don't have food. Some of you have been and seen this kind of stuff. Where parents are dying in their mid-20s and their 30s because of diseases all over the place. Here we have luxury in America. We're rich in America. Y'all understand that? We're rich, we're spoiled. But I'm thankful I live in America. Don't get me wrong, but hey, just as important and as heartbroken as you would be to see skin and bones on some babies, I wonder how heartbroken your heart is for the little ones that are starving for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how much more we as a church, we have a missions conference coming up in October. And I wonder, I hope you're praying about it just like I'm praying about it. I wonder how much more next year New Hope Independent Baptist Church could do for worldwide missions. How many more missionaries could we take on? How many more people can we reach? Zero if we don't have faith. But oh, by faith, thousands could be reached because of your faith and your belief. And can I tell you something? That would make your Savior look real good. Would it not? That would make your Savior look real good. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Can I say tonight, everything we do must be to honor our Savior. Everything we do, we should say, "God, and here's something that you should start practicing and I should start practicing more. If you can't find glory and honor in what I am about to do, show me, and I don't want to do it." Y'all hear what I'm saying? There's a lot of things we do that means absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. Would that, everybody agree with that? And look, I'm not talking about your hobbies that God gave you the ability to enjoy. I'm just saying, if what you ought to do next time is say, "God, show me how I can bring glory and honor to you through what I'm about to do. And if you can't find it, walk away." Everything about us must be about honoring our Savior. 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, in our body and our spirit, which are God's. I wonder when the last time our bodies were used to glorify God. I wonder what God has given you the ability to do in this ministry, in your job, where you, and by the way, everything needs to be a ministry to you. Not just church. Your job should be a ministry. Going grocery shopping is a ministry. You see 1,000 people that you get annoyed with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever been to Walmart? I mean, goodness gracious. I thought we had a big Walmart until I started shopping at that thing. But I hate going in there. You can't even walk down the aisles. But look, you know, each and every one of those we pass, you say, "What are you doing talking about Walmart?" Look, what I'm thinking is, every single time we pass a person, that's a soul that's never dying. By the way, all of us are going to live forever somewhere. Y'all know that? Hell's not going to be a place where we just go, I'm not going, where they just go and they just die, they burn up and it's over with. No, no. We all have never dying souls. And every single person we pass has a soul. I wonder how many opportunities that we have let pass. You can make it simple. How many of you eat out at least once a month? Raise your hands. How many grocery shop at least once a week? Look, here's the deal. It's simple. I've been making it a habit, and I'm not spiritual because this is just something that it's an opportunity. What I'm saying is I'll go through a drive-thru, and I'll say, they'll give me my stuff, and sometimes we get angry at them. I heard some good drive-thru stories this past week. Sometimes we get upset with them because they're slow. I mean, nobody in line, they want you to pull up half a mile away, and they'll bring you your food in 45 minutes. You're the only one there. You know what I'm saying? There's 10 people in there. Somebody ought to be able to cook a cheeseburger quicker than that, right? But here's the deal. Here's what I'm saying. This is how easy you can glorify God. Put some gospel tracks in your middle console, and every time you go shopping or every time you go to a drive-thru or a car wash, look, you slip that gospel track and say, "Look, I don't want to waste your time. I know you're working. You're on the clock, but here, take this, Put it in your pocket. When you get some time, read it. You'd be surprised when you get to heaven just how many people you may never see again that might, hey, seek you out and say, hey, do you remember the day when you were in line at that grocery store and you gave me that gospel tract? Well, I got to tell you something. I went home and I read that thing, and I realized I was lost. And because you cared about me, I heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit convicted me and I got saved. You may never see him again. But here's the deal. It ain't about you, is it? It's about God. I'll challenge you to do that. When you go grocery shopping, don't waste the cashier's time. But hey, just say, hey, thank you so much for your service. You did a wonderful job. Could you please take this and read it when you get some time? At the Dollar General. At the restaurant. Look, everybody leaves tips, don't they? They're going to come back and get that receipt. Put that receipt inside a gospel tract. You can do that. Open it up, put the receipt in, throw a $5 bill in there. They'll really be excited then. $10 bill, $20, whatever the Lord tells you. But hey, the biggest tip you left them was the gospel. Do you see what I'm saying? We have the ability, but here's the question, folks. Do we have the desire to make our Savior look good tonight? We must glorify God. Because why? Because he bought us with a price. That price was his blood. In Deuteronomy 6:5, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. To make my Savior look good, I must learn to love him with all that I have. I like the part of the verse that says, with all my soul. Folks, we know, we've been taught, our soul is our what? Our mind. What else? Emotion and our will. So I wonder if with all my mind, do I love God? If with all my emotions, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, how are your emotions? Are they a wreck? Are they emotions of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. Hey, that's the fruit of the what? Spirit. Are all my emotions making God look good? Or when my emotions get out of whack, am I just making the devil look good? And then you have that story, well, I don't know about that guy. Hey, folks, that's the most embarrassing thing I've ever been through. I tend to get a little excited at sporting events sometimes. I've had a lot of people tell me, they're like, man, you're a preacher. Do you scream like that in the pulpit? Oh, yeah, you should come try it out. But here's the deal. Look, I've had to learn over the years, and folks, I'll be honest with you, some of you probably heard me raise my voice at games, but I don't say the things I used to say. I promise you, I've been kicked out of a lot of sporting events for just because my emotions were overtaken by the wrong spirit. Anybody ever been there? Or am I the only one? I appreciate it. Appreciate your honesty. I don't want to be a loner here. But look, that's not a godly thing when our emotions are taken over by the devil. And we say things we don't mean to say. You know, like, When you're arguing with your husband or arguing with your wife and she says something that, and look, you know your wife knows the button to push. Everybody knows that. And you know the husband knows the button to push. Wives say what? Amen. They know. But here's the deal. All they're doing is looking for a reaction. And with every action, there's always going to be a reaction. But husbands, what if you surprise them one day and say, you know what? Honey, you just pushed my buttons, but I just want you to know I love you. I wonder what she'd do. She'd probably push a little bit harder, wouldn't she? But look, our emotions, we cannot let our emotions get the best of us. Why? Because we're not honoring God when that happens. We've got to make our Savior look good. Because he is good. But see, people can't see God, can they? How many's ever seen God? How many's ever seen Jesus? But here's what they can see. They can see him through you. They can see him through the way you act, the way you talk, the things you do, the things you listen to, the things you watch. Hey, be careful what you say. Evil communication, what does it do? Corrupts good manners every single time. Every time. We got to be careful. We need to make our Savior look good. Verse number 11, number 2 tonight. Not only should we as believers be striving to make our Savior look good. Verse 11, the Bible says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Can I say we as believers must learn to be joyous in our long-suffering? Tonight, we took prayer requests, and I wonder, as you're giving those prayer requests, like when you pray, and it's natural to worry a little bit about people when they're sick. Everybody okay with that? But here's the deal. Even Jesus was anxious in the garden, but here's what happened. Jesus did not let his anxiety or his worry dictate his will. What he did is he took that to the Father, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I wonder how many of us do that with our problems. Here's what we do. We say, you know what, God, if you love me, you're going to take this away from me. And if you want me to not be upset, you're going to have to come through. Hey, listen, God still came through for Jesus. And by the way, he still came through for you. Y'all all right? He said, Father, if it be thy will. Listen, how many of you ever sweat blood before? Jesus did. Jesus did. Why? Because he was about to partake of some pretty cruel stuff that we preached about on Sunday morning. And here's the deal. He was anxious. His flesh was weak. And your flesh would have been weak. But he was constantly praying to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Hey, you want to make God look good? Next time something bad happens, instead of praying, God, take it away, take it away, take it away, ask God a question. God, what are you trying to show me through this? I tell people all the time, and I don't like to tell this story over and over again to make you feel bad for me, but I'll always forever be grateful for the 8.5 days of NICU time with Carolina. I'll forever be grateful for that. You say, you're glad? Yes, I'm glad she went to the NICU. You know why I'm glad, Brother Travis? Because my faith wasn't what it should have been before that. But I'll tell you what, it probably still ain't where it should be. But it's a whole lot further than it was pre-NICU. Because you know what I learned through that 8.5 days, brother? There's a lot of things that I've been through in my life. And let's just be real. There's some things we can control, can't we? We can do stuff. We can do something about some things. But when I got in that situation, it didn't matter what I thought. She just was there. For all I knew, she was at the hands of the doctors and nurses and the tubes and the oxygen and the ventilator and you name it. I had to trust everything they said. And that's what I had to do, and I had to trust the Lord. And God showed me through that situation, Drew, you said she belonged to me. I did say that. And here's what he asked me. Do you really mean it? And through that time, I was thinking, you know, if she doesn't get out of here, she's going to be with Jesus. But if she does get out of here, God has clearly given me an awesome opportunity with the story behind this young lady to tell people about it, and make sure that that young lady comes to know Christ one day. What a disservice to her would I be to not make her Savior look good. You know what my job now is? Is to make sure that she comes to know Christ someday. Y'all okay? God gave me an opportunity and a story to tell, and I love the story. It's kind of like telling that story about when you got saved. Y'all know that song, I love to tell the... Hey, that story should never get old to any of us. Y'all all right with that? Don't ever be ashamed of that. Listen, and if God's given you a story, many of you, I've heard some of your stories, but listen, I guarantee you that each and every one of you have a story. Might not be identical to mine, but if you'll think back in your time to a time where God put you in a situation, and look, God does allow things to happen in our lives. You remember the book of Job? You know, Satan went to God and said, hey, just take your hand of protection off of him. He'll curse you to your face and die. His wife said, hey, haven't you had enough of this God thing? Why don't you just curse God and die? What did Job say? The Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, I guarantee you, if you'd think back into your life a little bit, you could think of a time where you didn't have any control of the situation. And you had to trust God. And God was so good to you, regardless of the outcome. It's important to be thankful. It's important to have joy in your long suffering. Romans 15:13, the Bible says, let's go there. Romans 15:13. I didn't write this one down. I'm sorry. Romans 15 and verse 13. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I say we can have joy and know that we can abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost? You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that I have hope in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about Drew, because listen, if it was about Drew, I'd be in trouble, Brother Sean. And I bet you if you put your name there, if it was about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, hey, we'd all be in a mess. That's why Jesus had to die. It's all about the Savior. Proverbs 17:22, the Bible says, a merry heart doth good like a what? A medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, folks, I've asked you before, but you ever been around somebody with a broken spirit and just cranky all the time, don't want to be around them? They're like a pit bull ready to eat you up. You know what I'm talking about? Who wants to be around somebody like that? I don't. I'd just as soon be around somebody that can smile and laugh and have a good time, and you can fellowship with them and you don't have to worry about anything. You can have good communication. You're not going to worry about offending them. Folks, I can't stand soft people either. I'm just being honest. Look, the Bible says, you know, blessed are they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them, you know. You can take that out of context, but look, why do we walk around always trying to find something wrong? All the time. Why do we walk around trying to find something wrong with the preacher? Why are we trying to find something wrong with the preacher's wife? Why are we trying to find something wrong with the Sunday school teacher? Why are we trying to find something wrong with that ignorant teenager? Because they're a teenager. Why are we trying to find something wrong with mom, with dad? You know what? Why? Why are we always looking for something wrong? Why don't we just stop that? Why don't we grow up? I said it. Let's grow up a little bit. Be mature Christians. Stop trying to sow discord. Learn what unity is, because, hey, God works in unity, amen? Singleness of heart unto God. God doesn't work in disunity. God doesn't like cliques in the church. Y'all all right with that? God don't like talking about each other behind their backs. God likes unity. And unity with what? The Bible. Look, here's the thing. The next time you get offended, just go to the Bible. And if someone did something to offend you, first of all, use the Bible principle for how to handle it. And the Bible principle is not calling all your buddies in the church. It's going to feel bad for you and get mad at everybody. The Bible principle is what? Go to the brother or the sister that has what? Offended you. And talk to them. Or, if somebody said something and you're just mad because they shouldn't have said that, hey, if biblically they shouldn't have said that, hey, I promise you, I'll be the first to tell you, if you come to me and say, Brother Drew, something you said in your message don't quite line up, if you show me in the Bible, I'm not going to be mad at you. I've been wrong before, and I'm going to be wrong again. Amen? It's all right. I had a teenager one time. I was preaching, and I said the wrong name. I said, I forget what I said, but after, and to be honest, it took me a minute. I was like, I was kind of upset. It kind of offended me because he called me out in front of everybody. I was preaching to a bunch of teenagers, and he stopped right in the middle, and he said, no, that's not right. I said, excuse me? You're not preaching this message. I'm preaching this message. He said, no, you said the wrong name. I said, let me preach my message. But in reality, you know what? He was right. I was wrong. And sometimes that's hard to admit, isn't it? Nobody likes to admit they're wrong, do they? Anybody like to be told you're wrong? But folks, look, if the Bible says it, we better believe it. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. A broken spirit drieth the bones. We've got to learn to have a merry heart as believers. A broken, angry spirit will be the death of you if you allow it. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Lord, I thank you so much for the book of Colossians, Lord, that you've given us as believers. Lord, I know much of your Bible is written to unbelievers, but I'm so thankful for the part, God, that's written to us, Lord, that we can open it up and study it. And Lord, realize, Lord, that we probably aren't where we should be spiritually. And Lord, many of us could stand to be a lot better. And Lord, tonight, Lord, you know this preacher's heart. Lord, I just want to be better for you. And Lord, I want to make you look better. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want our church to honor and glorify you, God. I want everything that's done at New Hope Independent Baptist Church to be about Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, Lord, I don't want credit for it. Lord, I just want to be able to say, look what God has done. And Lord, we sure do thank you for what you have done already. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless this weekend, Lord, as we prepare for this Easter. It's Easter play, Lord, the preaching of your resurrection. Lord, I'm so thankful I don't serve a dead Savior. And God, I thank you for living within me and living for eternity. Lord, I just ask you now to be with Miss Crystal and, Lord, the ladies that are going to be playing and all the kids, God, that are in this play. Lord, I thank you for all the hours that have been put into it. Lord, may you bless them, help them learn their lines and their acting, Lord, what they're doing. And God, may most of all, everything that's done, honor and glorify you. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for our men, our ladies, Lord, that serve here. Lord, we sure do love you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.